Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everybody to another Swapcast here on Somewhere in Vegas and WombatSports.com. I'm Mark the Q. I'm your host and my co-host, as always, Serena Southpaw de Jesus, who's a fighter out of Syndicate MMA. How you doing, Serena?
I'm doing all right. Kind of a slow day today. You know, just nerding out and typing papers and doing everything you got to do.
Yeah, we're waiting for Lemele McFarland to be calling in, hopefully relatively shortly. Bellator was a little early last time when they called in. I don't know what's kind of the hang up on this one, but she might be a little bit late on her last interview, so she might be pushing us to us in a bit. So while we're waiting for her to call in, we got to talk a lot about how crazy this past week's been. It was a really long weekend for me. There was like five or six events that I was covering, and I'm still, this is the lull before I have to do the International MMA Federation is holding their European championships this week. Today was the first day. There was no female matches today, but they're going the rest of the week. Plus, we got another UFC card coming up this weekend in Australia, which has another female match. I'm interested to see how it goes. Danielle Taylor, the former King of the Cage champion, is making her UFC debut, taking on Seo Hee Ham, who that should be a pretty dynamic match. Both of them are really great strikers, so I'm interested to see how that kind of goes coming up this weekend. But like I said, it's just been a crazy couple weeks. Probably one of the biggest upsets in I would say it's probably the second or third biggest upset in women's mixed martial arts history. You know, obviously Holly and Rhonda's got to be like number one on that list, but this has got to be a second or third. It's just crazy. Tanya Evinger lost her championship this past weekend to Yana Kunitskaya by armbar within 2 minutes. There was a little controversy in terms of the finish, but
I've been seeing the controversy everywhere. I don't think this is a little thing. I think this is something. This is a controversy that I've seen people have brought up the importance of, like, you know, refs and techniques and everything. Like, everything under the sun has been tossed because of this whole thing. And quite honestly, I welcome the renewed discussion on all these things. Now, I mean, it also gives a rehash of, like, some rules that we don't know. Like, for example, I didn't know I could step on someone's face, to escape. So I thought, I didn't know that. I just didn't know that was a thing. So just learning everything as I've been learning, like, you know, as everything went down, and after I picked my jaw up off the floor after watching this, I'm like, wow, and seeing everybody pretty engaged, and it's pretty set down the middle of, like, you know, either against the referee, you know, like Mike England and what he did, or for, like, hey, you know, a fight's a fight, you know, it happened, whatever. So I'm just sitting in the middle. I just want to see how this unfolds. I mean, quite honestly, I mean, Tanya's my friend. I mean, I hope she, you know, whatever happens, happens. But at the same time, I'm just going to sit back and see how this all goes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have faith that they'll overturn it. Tanya has put in papers to the commission, explaining the situation that she wants to be turned to a no contest, and that's what it would be. It would be a cold contest. It wouldn't be anything else. But it's hard. I think it's hard for her to, you know, I know that the ref made a mistake, but it's hard for me to see the commission overturning the ruling. So the big question is, does she get the rematch or not? Now, I just wrote up an article this past week about what I think is going to be next. Really, there's not very many challengers right now at the top of the bantamweight division for Yana. Pretty much, Tanya has pretty much wiped out the division with most of the people that were there. Tanya's got to be one of the people that you got to think of deserves a rematch. She's really kind of pushing for it. She's won 9 straight. She's defended the belt. She's defended the belt, and, you know, she's kind of in that position where, you know, it's kind of almost in the Ronda position where she was so dominant for so long that, you know, she almost deserves to have that match taken back. But with that being said, Cindy Dandois also has a little beef with Yana. For those of you who've not seen the fight, when they first fought, which was like 3 or 4 years ago, and I remember watching the fight myself, basically, the referee, it was just in Russia, so the referee stepped in really, really quick to stop the fight after Cindy was on the ground. And Cindy was, like, stood up, and of course she was shocked that, why did you stop this? You know, that was her first, actually her first, I think her first professional loss. So it ended in controversy as well. So Cindy is the only other person I can think of that could possibly be in that spot. Cindy currently has a 2-fight win streak going on her own, and the rest of the division's either not experienced enough to get to that point yet, or don't have enough wins in order to make it there. Raquel Paului does not have enough wins to qualify with, because she lost to, I believe, she lost to Colleen last time, and she needs another win in order to get that, to be say that argument that she can be the next contender. So, it'll be interesting to see where the UFC, where the Invicta goes from there in terms of that in terms of that division. I really hope that they bring in some more people. I also said in the article, I'm really hoping they do bring in Sarah Coffin, who's currently a free agent right now. I would be interested to see a Tonya versus Sarah Coffin match if they don't give Tonya the rematch, because though both are vets, Sarah Coffin is a former Strikeforce champion, and they've never faced each other. And it's kind of amazing how long both their careers have been, and neither of them have faced each other. So I'm interested to see how everything kind of shakes up in terms of bantamweights. And there's quite a few bantamweights that just dropped off of the UFC because of the because of some of the cuts. Sarah's case, she was just a free agent. She can sign back with the UFC, but I don't see the UFC signing her back. Anytime soon. She's not, as talented as she is and how badass she is, you know, I don't think they think she's marketable enough to be there. And I think that's been a damn shame. And they haven't been giving her any fights or anything. So it's been kind of disappointing to see that. So I'd love to see Sarah kind of rebuild
her career. A lot of the bantamweights in UFC have been, they have a big roster, but I feel like I don't see as many of them as, you know, I showed, yeah, we see the regulars, but all the rest who are signed to the UFC roster, I don't see too much of them. It's concerning.
Mm-hmm. And for those of you wondering, Colleen Schneider is no longer with Invicta. She signed a multi-fight deal with Bellator, and she's going down to flyweight. So she's not in the mix anymore. It's been a kind of interesting time. And she's not the only one. There's a couple people from Invicta that have signed over to Invicta. Invicta that signed over to Bellator. So we're kind of seeing, it's kind of been an interesting scenario. I think, you know, I think they could prime Colleen to face the winner of Emily Decote and Alime to be the champ, the flyweight champion. I could easily see them put that in that position. I'm hoping they get some comments from Alime when she calls in, talk a little bit about that. Yeah, it's an interesting case in terms of that as well. The strawweights and the flyweights seem to be a lot more dense in terms of what they can do with the divisions and all that as well. So I'm interested to see how that kind of goes. Angela Hill's made quick work of a lot of the people that have been in the top echelon there as well. I'm interested to see where her next challenger is going to be, who makes sense for her. So we'll have to see what goes there. I think there could be a little bit mini tournament there that could find a new contender. So we'll see what.
And then we got the news for the next Invicta coming up, because normally we'd have to wait a little longer to see when the next Invicta card is, but they have been announced it for 2017. I think, what was it, January 13th, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly.
January 14th. January 14th in Kansas City.
Hey, look, that's 4
and...
days after my birthday.
Yeah.
So somebody better help me get there for my birthday, por favor.
I want to go to Los Angeles the weekend after, so I can't make it. I can't make it again.
You'll be there in spirit with us, Mark. But I'm seeing that Heather Hardy, who is a scary lady with her hands, is coming. I'm really interested to see who her opponent will be, And then, of course, we got Megan Anderson versus Charmaine Tweet, which is which I don't know. Would that technically? I don't know. Could that possibly be a title qualifying match? Or what
they
do you
announced,
think,
they announced it as a title qualifier. So the winner of that fight will fight Cyborg next. Barring anything with the UFC where the UFC says, we want to keep her. But I think Cyborg has went on record saying, I'm not cutting to 140 anymore. I'm staying at 145 now. And unless Ronda says, I want to fight you, and then she'll be more than happy to go to 140. But I think Cyborg went on record saying, no longer to 140 unless Ronda says yes. Hopefully
now my heart
after
doesn't have
winter,
to break as much anymore.
we'll kind of get that situation taken care of. Another thing that's been going on since we talked a little bit about the strawweights is the fact that Ayaka Hamasaki has now wants a title match versus Angela Hill, so she could be a two-division champion, like Conor McGregor is. It'd be interesting to see if Shannon actually does play that up a little bit and, lets Ayaka do that. I don't see why not. Ayaka, was undefeated at strawweight until she faced Claudia, and that was her only loss on her record. So I'm interested to see if that's applying to be the situation. And I know Ayaka wants to move up to 115 and then possibly get a UFC run in her as soon as she gets that belt. So it'll be interesting to see that as well. And I'm interested to see what Hardy's going to do anyway, too. Hardy's going to be fighting at flyweight. That was a part of the release. She won't be at strawweight. She'll be at flyweight. So so much for a dream match between her and Tiffany Van Soest.
Right? That's what
I'm interested to see what flyweight comes in, yeah.
Hey, maybe I'm thinking that Andrea KGB Lee, once her suspension is up, would be a great matchup for that. But would her suspension be up in time is the question.
Yeah, I don't know. One thing, too, is that Tiffany's, I think, fighting next month. Tiffany's actually fighting for Glory on next month's card, which is, I think, is a semifinal. Yeah, I think it's the semifinals of the tournament, the Bantamweight tournament. So she might not be able to, make a turnaround that quickly in order to make it to January anyway. So I'm interested to see what Heather does. And it's an interesting story, and it's a kind of a weird story, and kind of almost ironic in terms of why she's going to MMA. The fact is that her promoter is based out of New York. With the new MMA bill that passed, which covered everything from boxing and kickboxing and all that, they said all the professional fights need to be under this insurance rule, and the fighters need to be covered for, I think, $1 million policy or something like that per fighter. And the promoters are, some of the lower promoters are having trouble, being able to pay for that kind of coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So Hardy's promoter said, we're going to pull one of the cards off just so we can figure out what's going on and possibly have another event, hopefully when we negotiate something a little bit better with the insurance companies down the line. So Heather was out without a fight. She couldn't fight. So this past summer, she was already kind of thinking about making the transition over, and this made it permanent. So that was pretty interesting, to say the least, as well. Well, without further ado, we'll get San Diego's own Alume Leigh McFarland on with us. Hello?
Hi.
Hi, Alume.
Hi. Is this Mark?
Hi. Yeah, this is Mark, and we're also joining me is Serena, Serena Southpaw. How's everything going with training?
It's been going really good. I'm tapering down right now, so now I'm just focusing on the weight cut.
Hey, want to say hi, Serena? Oh, hold on one second.
I can't hear anything.
Wait one second. There, Serena, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I dropped you for a second. You want to say hi to Alume?
Yeah, I was like wondering what's going on. Hey there, how you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Slow day. Just, taking care of my knee because yesterday in training, I think I might have done something to it. So, fun stuff. But oh well.
Yeah.
Nothing too cool. Major, though.
Yeah, sorry I missed you when I was down there at the Team Hurricane Awesome, what, about a month or two ago?
Oh, you came down?
Yeah, I came down. I interviewed Pearl while I was there. I think you were working that day, so I couldn't stop by and interview you.
Oh, shoot. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. It was great because I got to see Liz really, really quick to see how her her weight cut was going. It was going good right before her fight. So I know you guys were pretty excited probably about her win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a huge relief.
Yeah, anyway, so yeah, I mean, that's been interesting. Her last fight with Rebecca Ruth was just absolutely awesome. She was a tough opponent. As well, you know, she had made really good strides in Bellator before, and she had a couple upsets of her own in Bellator. What was it like fighting Rebecca, and, you know, what was it like, you know, competing with the gal that was up on that level?
Oh, man, it was amazing. It's been my favorite fight to date. You know, I still get emotional whenever I watch it. I literally, I'm not even joking, I've cried every single time that I've watched that fight. And I think it was, it's just been a combination of a bunch of things. It's, you know, like being on that stage, being on like one of the biggest cards Bellator has ever put on, fighting in front of my family. I had my parents there and, you know, a couple rows behind. And then the main reason was my coach Manolo was in the hospital and I wasn't sure if he was going to make it out. So that was, there are so many emotions going into that fight, so it's still definitely, I get really emotional about that one. But I think, yeah, and just the fact that I was able to pull off the win, it was amazing. It was definitely also helped legitimize me, I think, in a lot of people's eyes, including my own. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was great to be able to see that fight. I mean, like I said, Rebecca is a talent in her own right, and you know, I look forward to seeing her fight again in the Bellator cage as well. So yeah, I mean, it's an interesting time right now. They're signing a lot of female talent right now, trying to build up the division. I don't know if you've heard, but Colleen Schneider has signed a multi-fight deal. I kind of wish this fight was going to be a title fight, but by the looks of it, it's not going to be. So I'm interested to see if it winds up being the winner of this versus Colleen. Kind of, you know, do you have any thoughts about Colleen coming into the division, and are you looking forward to possibly facing her in the future?
Yeah. Well, first of all, congratulations, Colleen, for signing. I also was a little confused because when I first heard she had signed, I was like, oh, cool. Like, she would be a great addition to the featherweight. And then when I heard it was for flyweights, I'm like, what? Like, she is very tall and built. Like, where in the world is she going to be able to take off that weight, you know? Like, she's ripped. So I was, I think that I was just questioning, like, how is she going to cut the weight? You know, especially because her last, she fought against my really good friend Raquel Pa'aluhi, and she didn't make weight for that fight, you know. So I'm like, well, she's having trouble making weight at bantamweight, then how is she going to make flyweight? So that was, like, my initial thought at first when I heard she had signed. But then, I thought, well, you know what, this could actually be a really awesome opportunity for my career or just, you know, for my experience if I were to fight a veteran like that. And especially because the card that she's supposed to debut on is in L.A., so that would be cool. It would be like, you know, my family could come, a bunch of my team could come. But, of course, I'm not looking past Emily at all whatsoever. I think she's the toughest in the division. And I agree. Like, I thought if there was a title fight, then it should have been me and Emily. But, I think if I were to get past Emily, I think the fight against Colleen would be awesome. It'd be a quick turnaround. You know, I'm ready. I'm in shape. I'm not going to, you know, just go on vacation immediately after. That would be great if I could get another fight to kick off 2017.
It seems like you've been fighting on the regular ever since you signed on. It seemed like you every couple months you've been fighting with them as well. You know, how's that been for you to be able to be at active and to be able to rotate that much in terms of getting fights? And has that pattern helped you out in terms of how you're fighting and your fight career?
I thought that the layoff for my last fight was a little long, or longer than I would have liked to. I wish that I was able to fight on the October card in Memphis, Tennessee, or even this past one in San Jose. You know, I wanted to fight sooner. Ideally, I would like to fight four times a year. I think that's a good amount for me. It's fine. It is what it is, and I trust Bellator with what they're working on. You know, so I know they have a plan, and I'll give whatever fight they give me, or I'll take whatever fight they give me. Rather.
Yeah, Shereen, do you have any questions?
No, I'm just listening to it, really. I guess the one question is, out of anybody in the flyweight division, you know, be it in Bellator or not, who would you actually like to fight?
Obviously I want the Anastasia fight. It would bring in a lot of viewers. It would be, a money-making fight, really. And I think it would also be good for my career, too. You know, she has a lot of followers and everything. And it's totally nothing personal at all. You know, I think it's more of a
business. It's all business, yeah.
Move. Yeah, it's a business move. And so, of course I want the Anastasia fight, but I know that she's taking some time off. I think she had to get surgery after her last fight, something like that. So that might not be in the works for a while. I think she's definitely the fight that I want eventually.
There you go.
Now, I've ever heard the story about how you ended up winding up at Team Hurricane Awesome. Can you tell me a little bit about how that came to be?
Yeah, absolutely. I was waiting tables at a little diner, putting myself through school, and I would pass by on my way to work. I would pass by this gym in a warehouse that would have a shitty sign out the front that would be like MMA, boxing, jiu-jitsu. But, I never even thought about it at all. I was just like, cool, whatever. And then when I finished college, was actually when I was like, okay, I want to get back into shape. I'm super out of shape. I was heavy. I was walking at 175. I gained a bunch of weight in college. So I decided to, I'm going to join this gym that my friend recently joined. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to give it a shot. I think it'll be fun to change up the workout. So I walked in, and I didn't know who Liz Carmouche was. And I was just like, this chick is a super ripped chick who's kind of scary, wants me to join the gym. Okay. And so I signed up with them. And I went to one class. My first class was an MMA class for beginners, and that was with Manolo. And I didn't even get to the warm-up. I was dry heaving just from doing Spider-Mans across the floor. I was so out of shape. And then, but Manolo kept encouraging me to come back to class, and I did. And then after a couple months, after I shed some weight and got a little good, I guess, and he's like, hey, would you be interested in competing? Like, I think you should just do one fight. And I was like, okay. And then one fight led to like 14 fights. So yeah, that's how I started.
Yeah, now I mean it's interesting because you've known for your really powerful striking, but really to tell you the truth, if you ever go to the gym, you can see how badass their BJJ team is. Of course, they're a 10th Planet affiliate. Is that something that you think that Emily might underestimate coming into this fight?
No, not at all. I mean, especially after my last two fights where they both ended in finishes in jiu-jitsu. finishes. So it's like I don't think she's underestimating my jiu-jitsu at all. I actually think that she's underestimating my striking, because really the only fight that displayed my striking was the Maria Rios fight. And that one, I don't think you can see it online. Like, I haven't been able to find it anywhere. So it looks like I'm a grappler, predominantly a grappler, which is true. I love my ground game and everything. But, yeah, I think it would be my striking that hasn't really been displayed a lot.
Just keep it a secret then. Shh.
I mean, Liz recently had a match up at the Eddie Bravo Invitational. Is that something that you might consider doing if you're down? You have some downtime in between fights?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was funny because we actually Eddie had initially asked me, and it was just more of a convenience thing. It wasn't like he personally called me up. I was just at HQ, Campanet HQ up in LA. I was up there with my jiu-jitsu instructor, Boogie, and we had just finished training, and Eddie was like, hey, what belt are you? I'm like, purple. He's like, would you want to do a super fight or a super match at the EBI? And, oh, gosh, it was really funny, because Boogie, he's standing behind Eddie, and he's nodding his head, like, say yes, say yes. And I'm just like, shit. Because I, like, kind of recently got promoted to purple, so I was like, oh, shoot, I don't know. But also it was because contractually I wasn't even sure how I was able to do it, because EBI is on Fight Pass, which is a UFC thing. And so I was like, dude, I don't even know if I would be able to, because I'm with Bellator, and I don't know if they would contractually I'm able to. So that's what I told Eddie. And then when we got into the car, Boogie's like, if Eddie Bravo asks you if you want a super fight in EBI, you say yes. You don't hesitate. And I'm like, sorry. But no, it ended up totally working out because then they decided that the winner of the Tap for Tap, or the first and second place of Tap to Tap tournament, would have a super rematch. And me and Liz were both in that tournament, and I lost in the semis against Maria Henderson, who Liz went on to beat in the finals and who she went on to beat again in their rematch at EBI. So I'm like, dude, everything totally worked out, totally fine. I would way rather have Liz up there than myself. Like, everything worked out. So, if Eddie ever asked me again if I'd like to do it, I'm going to say yes, absolutely.
I really want Eddie to do a flyweight women's one. Just do it. Because I think
so
there's enough gals out there wanting. Yeah, there's enough gals that are there. I mean, yourself, I mean there's quite a few that aren't even MMA. Roma Palek, who's just recovering from having
she
a baby.
Was really good.
Angela Lee, who wants to do more grappling fights too. I'm interested to see if there ever was, and I'd love Eddie to do it. I think there's enough women that they could easily do a female tournament. So my fingers are crossed.
Oh, yeah.
In 2017 they do it. He finally pulls the trigger and says, hey, let's just do a women's tournament. And I think that he can easily fill those slots. So my fingers are crossed.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I mean, when I was down there, I was talking to Pearl. I mean, Pearl's obviously back from injury. She's waiting to hopefully book a match, will be within the next couple months. Like I said, Liz is coming off her win, and we're basically in fight camps together and all that as well. So, what's been the dynamic like with the team? And tell me a little bit about training during a training camp. Basically side by side with Liz.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was definitely the most intense training camp so far for myself. I started with Liz, and so Liz is about 2.5 weeks before, like 3 weeks before my fight. so I basically had an extended camp, and it was also at a high level. Our trainer, our head trainer, Bill, even said, like, I'm amping it up because now you're at that level. Like, you should be having these, you know, high-level camps that Liz has been having. So that was great. And then, of course, Liz is awesome. She pushed me on and off the mat. You know, we would do our conditioning together. We did everything, like pretty much everything we would do together, even outside of the gym. We'd go do our swims together and everything. So that was super cool, having someone there. And it's so funny because, well, it's not funny, but right now she's taking a little break, you know, doctor's orders after her fight. She has to take off a couple weeks. And I'm kind of like, oh, my gosh, like, where's Liz been? But the good thing is that I actually have Kanako Murata with me right now. She's a fighter for Risen, a great wrestler, and she's staying with me doing her camp with us. She actually fights Rin Nakai at the end of December for Risen. And so she's been able to kind of step in there, you know, for me, helping me while Liz takes a little break. But otherwise it was awesome having Liz there. And we actually had we have four other guys getting ready for fights. So we had a consistent group of people every day grinding through practices together, which was awesome.
Yeah, it was interesting because I think you had another Ryzen fighter there. Manny was telling me the story when I was down there. The gal that faced Kyra Bataro over at Ryzen ended up coming down there to train. And then a couple weeks later, and she left, and then a couple weeks later, Kyra came in to train at the gym. So it was kind of a little awkward situation there. But that's great that to see that she's training there for Rin. I mean, and it seems it's been interesting to see a couple of the Japanese fighters kind of make their way into Team Hurricane Awesome as well. It's an interesting situation there. It's great to be able to do that and you have those little contacts. You could possibly fight over in Ryzen, you know, maybe coming up too. Because,
yeah, they have a
you know. Mm-hmm. So I mean,
that'd be
you
cool.
know, I'm pretty sure you'd be excited to go to Japan.
Who wouldn't? Oh my God! I think if anybody put me in Japan, I wouldn't be coming back. You'd have to try and find me.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking about. I'm actually seriously considering going out for Kanako's fight. I'm kind of just waiting for December 3rd so that I can get some money in my account before I book the ticket.
Okay, cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I'll have to look for you in the corner then.
Though I don't speak Japanese at all. She won't understand me, but yeah, I'll be there.
I don't know. We'll get you. What's your face will be there. I'm pretty sure of it. I can translate for you. I can't remember her name off the top of my head. There's a Mei Yamaguchi. She's probably going to be there. So, and she speaks really good English. And I've always wanted Mei to come here over to Invict and fight for them because I know she'd be a star over
is
here.
Is that the one that Angela? Is that the one that Angela Lee fought for the belt in one?
No.
Yeah, I'm about to say I don't think so.
No, Mei's never fought over here in the United States. So, Mei's a star over at Jules, but she does a lot of translation work for a lot of the other promotions over there.
Okay.
I'll have to let her know if you ever come out, you know, if you need a translator. What was I going to say? Speaking of corners, I'm assuming Manny's going to be in your corner. Any other people that are going to be in your corner coming up on the December 3rd fight?
Well, unfortunately, Manolo won't be in my corner for this one because he will actually be out in Bahrain. Brave MMA is putting on a show, and you know that he's their matchmaker.
They're putting
on the show that same weekend. Yeah, so he won't be there, but my other head trainer, Bill Crawford, he'll be there, and then one of my teammates and good friends, Mark Hoopinger. But those two will be out there with me.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and you'll be out in Oklahoma. This is probably your first trip. Is this your first trip out to Oklahoma?
Yes, to Oklahoma, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I hear interesting stories from some of the other fighters about going out in the middle of, basically in the middle of nowhere, Oklahoma. But I hear it's a decent, the place is decent, so you'll at least have that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
I started on reservations.
So, yeah.
I started my career on reservations, so I love that I'm going back.
Yeah, I look forward, on Spike to be able to watch that. And, Serena, do you have any questions?
No, all I know is I'm really looking forward to the fight because I just saw them. Like, oh my God, it's December 3rd. I'm like already doing the happy dance because yet another good fight added to the Bellator card. Yeah. Soon, I hope to jump back into fighting soon, but I'm on hiatus until the New Year. So my knee's fine. It's not my knee. It's bugging me. It's just that I just can't find people in just normal time. Like, I had someone who's going to step up in January. Not January. It was also going to be December 3rd. He's going to fight. But I was like, no, I already bought my tickets to go see my brother's performance. Because you know what? As much as I love fighting, my little siblings come first.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
They travel all the way back home to Philadelphia. I'm going to freeze. I'm already thinking it's cold here in Las Vegas. I'm going to freeze when I get back home to Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's pretty cold here in San Diego right now, but it's not really.
Shocking. Oh, my gosh.
By the sounds of it, you're going to be up there for the Bellator card up in Los Angeles, or for Fight Crook, right?
Yeah, that's the plan.
Okay, I'll definitely be there for that one. So I'll have to catch up with you, you and Manny, when you're up there. That weekend is going to be chaos for me, but it'll be fun. It'll be my birthday weekend, so I'm celebrating it down in LA. So I'm interested to see Colleen's debut and all that as well. So I'll definitely try to find a time in which I can catch up with you and Manny. Well, actually, Manny's not going to be there because he's going to be a Marine. So I'll have to catch up with you.
No, that's just for my fight. No, but January, he will be back.
January, he will be back. I take that back, yeah. Okay, so, yeah, so I'll catch up with Manny then and all that as well, too. Eliminator on Twitter, Lynn McCarland. I believe, what are you on Instagram?
Eli Malay,
okay, on Instagram. Yeah. And then make sure to check her out on Facebook as well. Best of luck to you coming up. I think a lot of people are going to be very interested in this fight. Like I said, this could be a number one contender fight. Whoever wins this should more than deserve a championship fight sometime down the line. And hopefully Bellator gets that belt made and shined up for whoever the new champion is going to be. And I believe yours is going to be on the main card, right?
Yes, it'll be on the television.
It better be. Exactly. It better be. Like I said, again, best of luck to you. We'll see you on Bellator coming up on December 3rd, and I'll hopefully see you come LA on the weekend of the 21st.
Cool. Sounds good.
Okay. Best of luck, and make sure to say hi to Manny from me.
I will. Thank you, Mark. Thanks,
okay.
Serena.
No problem. Thanks a lot.
No problem.
Lemme.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, bye.
Lemme McFarland, everybody. Awesome gal.
She sounds so nice.
Oh, yeah, she's so awesome. Yeah, yeah, the flyweight division is just so crazy. And it's interesting. I mean, Bellator's done a really great job in terms of developing the division. So it's just absolutely wonderful to see them kind of bring in some talent. And really, I mean, the UFC, I know, is not going to bring in the 125ers anytime soon, because right now the new management is in save mode. So they're not going to spend more money to bring in a new division. So it's up to Invicta and Bellator to keep those girls busy. And it's been interesting, to say the least, and I really hope that they've had the round the women's divisions for a couple of years now, and we haven't seen a champion crowned yet. So it's kind of disappointing that we haven't seen a 145 champion or a 125 champion, and now they're bringing in the 115ers. So, with Carrie-Anne Melendez, and wow, her performance last week.
Oh, my gosh, I'm like, damn.
Yeah,
I was
jumping
up and down with
that
sucker.
Fast.
Yeah, me neither. But, man,
I mean, she could be Yeah, she could go back. She could. Well, I won't be surprised if she ends up being on the San Jose card in February. It makes sense.
It would make sense. Yeah, I would say it would make sense, given that she's local and, you know, coming off that kind of performance. I mean,
yeah,
that'd be a big draw, for the, especially for the hometown people.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm interested. I mean, well, it all depends, because we remember when we talked to her, she said it was all up to when Gil was fighting next, and we don't know that yet. So
yeah,
if you know, it might be a situation where if Gil's not fighting, you know, fighting until, you know, sometime a little bit after February, and he's not in fight camp, then, you know, she'll be on that card. So we'll kind of see where that goes, because they're kind of alternating now with what they were telling us in the last interview. So, but anyway, the division is really, really good. Sierra D'Elio, who was on the undercard, it was a weird situation where she was on, she was advertised pretty heavily on the Bellator undercard, but the problem was is that her fight did not air. It did not stream, did not do anything. What happened was that they had the Kimbo Slice Jr. fight, and then they cut off the stream, and there was like a whole 15 minutes before they hit the television. And then I'm like going, what the hell? You know, I thought that initially that they
were
doing a preliminary fight. And then suddenly I hear, oh, no, it's over. Sierra won by armbar. And I'm like going, okay, why didn't we air it? And then I got the explanation was the fact that that it wasn't, I guess, it was something about, I have to read what Rob said, something about not wanting to promote a star from another promotion on the card. So I'm assuming that the contract
fun,
for Bellator was only a one-fight deal for Sierra, which is kind of ridiculous. If they, you know, why bring her over? I know she's a local star, but it doesn't quite make sense to me. You know, why bring her in if you're not going to bring her in? So it kind of confused me. So the bad news is that by looks of it, Bellator didn't sign Sierra. The good news is that means she's still signed with Invicta, which I'm happy about. So, I mean, it's crazy. I don't know why that was the situation, but yeah, it was kind of crazy in that kind of situation.
I don't know. It's just one of those things that don't make sense. But I'm just hoping that Bellator continues to grow, because I want to see, as much as I love Invicta, I do want to see more promotions, you know, that are not the UFC begin to have more flourishing women's divisions, you know, because I don't want what happened when Strikeforce went under, and then you have a lot of female fighters going like, well, what do we do from here? Like, that was probably one of the most heartbreaking moments, is like when, for me looking at it as a fan originally, is when Strikeforce folded, because then you had other places that just didn't broadcast women's fights, and if they did, it was like a different time zone, different country, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, well, it was an interesting thing. I mean, there was only a very little lapse in terms of that, because that was kind of how Invicta started. When the UFC brought in the bantamweights, and it was just a question of everybody else, where is everybody else going to go? And then Invicta was already, and I don't know if you know the story about how Invicta kind of
I
already
do,
kind
but
of
it's
started.
Still that
yeah.
As small as that lapse was, I bet there's a lot of fighters going like, oh, shit, now what?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Even if it was little, it still leaves that little pit of uncertainty in your stomach. So.
Yeah, and I don't think that's ever going to happen again. I think there's just so many promotions now that are doing stuff, you know, in terms of female fights. And there's a lot of crossover, too. I mean, Bellator is sending some talent over to Japan. So as Combates Americas, because you saw Kyra, you know, fighting over at Ryzen. Invicta's been sharing talent with Legacy, with Andrea. And, you know, I think that, you know, I think, well, first of all, Shannon's really kind of open with the girls coming in and out, if, you know, as long as it makes sense. I think that's pretty much the deal, with the exception of Bellator, I think, in terms of if they sign a long-term deal, it doesn't make sense. I think the Sierra thing, I think, was a situation where, you know, Shannon let her do it because she didn't have anything for her at the moment, and it was an opportunity for her to fight. Shannon's always open to have somebody else go to another promotion and fight, because they have to make a living, and Invicta's not always going to have a spot for them. It's just as much as they had six, you know, a card every 2 months this year, it's just hard for them to fill all those spots with the demand of how many women are out there. So I think that we're getting to that point at which we're starting to see a lot of these other promotions pick up the slack. I know that the UFC is cutting back a little bit in terms of some of the people that they have on their roster. A lot of it was international talent, actually, because I think it's a little bit expensive for them to fly international talent in the United States. And it might be a little bit cheaper for them to fly American talent over to Europe. So it's a situation where that's and they don't have to worry about the legal hassles and all that as well. So I think things will bounce back for the UFC once after 2017, when everything kind of rights itself a little bit. Maybe in 2018 we may see the flyweights come in, but I don't think that's ever going to happen again. I think there's just too much popularity. Ronda and Invicta both, I always share that thing. I think they both show that it was a profitable platform for women to be on fighting, and it's influenced everything from the WWE all the way to women's boxing now. So
yeah,
we're getting to that point, it's amazing to see kind of that effect, as much as Ronda, she publicized and everything like that, but you can't really do that platform. And this is where I always get on my my high horse on this, but it's me. There was always that platform that they set up before Ronda ever came in. And I don't understand, Ronda amped everything up, much more. They made it so a lot of these girls can make a lot more better living out of it. But there was still a platform before her, there wouldn't be a Ronda Rousey without Amisha Tate. I can tell you that
much. Exactly.
So,
it's kind of like how Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali back in the day really needed each other in order to make things awesome.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the one thing I think people kind of even kind of overlook. And when I wrote that article about Misha, I made
they
sure
do.
To highlight that. And the fact that, Ronda wasn't really that rowdy, Ronda Rousey character until she ended up getting into that controversy where she's dropped to 135. Coker gave her the shot against Misha. Misha felt slighted, and then that was when the whole feud started. As much as she doesn't say she's genuine, I have to kind of disagree with her on that, considering some of the actions I've seen her do outside the cage. But there's just people that aren't going to like each other. And really, to tell you the truth, that was the beginning of the Ronda Rousey character.
Say that five times
fast,
you can do it.
Yeah. But I think the genie's out of the bottle, and this time it's for a good reason. Genie's out of the bottle. I think there's so much demand for it now. I don't think we have to worry about, even if God or heaven forbid, Invicta closed its doors tomorrow, that there wouldn't be outlets for these girls. But, I think Invicta's still going to survive. I'm just interested to see how the UFC is going to handle, their situation, because they obviously have a contract with Invicta. But I think that Invicta does so much for them, it would be stupid for them to do anything with the current contract they have with them right now. Because they're feeding them really, really good talent, and they're really doing great ratings on the network. So the network is where, they want to keep some really, really strong numbers. I think they're going to bring a lot more promotions into the mix, into the fold. But I think Invicta is one of those things that kind of helped the network stay where it is. As much as the UFC had their pre-fights and all that as well, I mean their preliminary fights, bypassed only fights on there, Invicta was really the staple of it for quite a while until we got some of the other promotions, EBI and all that as well. But Invicta still seems to be a strong performer. It's got to be one of the top two or three performers on the network, if not number one, outside of any UFC content that they have on there. So I'm really interested to see how things go in 2017. But, like I said, I think it's just growing from leaps and bounds. People are seeing it. And like I said, it's so much that's affecting everything around it. Like I said, women's boxing right now is going to be it's doing a really great job in terms of its doing a really good job in terms of getting on it's on the ground. And like I said, the revolution begins now. Clarissa Shields this past weekend looked absolutely great against Franjean Cruz. really great fight. Nonstop action throughout the whole bout. Franchon was really aggressive, pushed her down a couple times actually too. but Franchon was just hitting power shots, and then Clarissa was just hitting her with combos, and Franchon was lost steam after the middle of round three, and Clarissa just started opening up and ended up winning a unanimous decision, winning all four rounds. I wish it would have went a little bit further. Four rounds seemed a little bit short for me. But it was great to be able to see Clarissa. Then Katie Taylor's fighting coming up, I think it's this coming weekend, and making her pro debut. And for those of you who don't know who Katie Taylor is, she's probably one of the best amateur boxers around. She could be the female Conor McGregor if she ends up doing well, and I think she'll draw a lot of crowds up in, you know, Ireland and in the UK. So I'm interested to see how she does. And I think they can build a division around Clarissa. Clarissa fights right around 165, 168 pounds.
Really?
And there's a lot of girls that are actually right around there. I was mentioning Cyborg, and Cyborg had said that she would be more than interested to fight boxing once her UFC contract is up. So, because he had several boxing promoters interested in her doing that. So, I think there's a lot of opportunity there for, and there's quite a couple other people too that people were mentioning. And there's quite a few girls out there that are going to, you know, they can develop divisions, and I think Clarissa's one of those people that is going to be able to push that forward. So I'm really interested to see how women's boxing ends up. And Showtime Boxing has said that they want to do more female bouts coming up in 2017. So we could see some of these names that you know some people may have never heard of make it to the big stage of Showtime. And it was great, I think, too, that HBO decided, well, let's go ahead and put our undercard on YouTube. And that was an absolute, I was like, now they get it. You know, this is what the UFC did for years. You know, it's like, well, you know, you have undercard matches, but you don't televise them. It doesn't make sense to me. There's a lot of content,
exactly.
A lot of people would want to see a lot of this stuff, especially with Clarissa. So I'm interested to see what the YouTube numbers are in terms of Clarissa's fight, and see how that drew. But I'm hoping that this becomes a continual occurrence with boxing matches, where some of these undercard fights that aren't on the pay-per-view are set on the undercard at YouTube, HBO YouTube or Showtime YouTube or something like that. Or even if Showtime did a undercard on their main network and then throw it to the pay-per-view, like the UFC does with the Fox Sports 1 card, very similar to that. So I'm interested to see if that ends up happening this year as well. They've got to really kind of, you know, look at their model and kind of adapt to what the times are right now. So we'll see what goes on there as time progresses.
And the thing is that I don't think that people are realizing that technically you can run ads through a live broadcast of streaming here and again. I mean, I know that you can work with YouTube for that, so it's not like any promotions will be missing out on money opportunities by streaming their undercards and stuff on YouTube.
Yeah, or they could just put them in. I mean, it's pretty easy just to have a switch.
Yes, yeah,
where
fight,
you know, you're in between
that.
Fights, you switch it over to a commercial and then come back. That's what the UFC does, you know.
Yeah, and
so
Super Fight League, like between matches, they just show the advertisements that are showing the fights right there on the screen for everybody else who's like watching online for them to see it too. I mean, I think Tough Enough even also does that. Yeah, Tough Enough does do that too. So if even an AMI promotion can do it, there's no reason that promotions that have pay-per-views on can't.
Yeah, you know, I mean, EDI does something similar to that too, where they'll just do an exterior shot, and then they'll have, they'll just announce who their commercials are or whatever. I think. That they can really easily adapt that model, although the big problem is that a lot of these promoters are the ones that are kind of setting up, managing the girls or they're managing these stars, and then they're throwing them, girls that may not even deserve to be, with it as well. So I'm really interested to see if they can, you know, figure out a situation where that can be fixed. But we'll see what happens. I know that I've had some friends that are managers of boxers, and they were saying, you know, that sometimes a little bit of more of a corrupt system there. So I'm interested to see if there's any kind of a wall in that as well. So we'll see what goes on. But I'm excited for next year in terms of women's boxing. So we'll have to see what goes on there as well. It's crazy. And then we'll do one more little story, and then we'll kind of wrap up, because this is kind of an interesting story. Leslie Smith has announced that she announced that she had left her management company. And the reason why she left her management company was the fact that they were a part of the oil pipeline.
Dakota Access Pipeline.
And she's kind of standing up, because she's obviously against it going through an Indian land, which I agree with, because the fact is that the original plan had to go through a certain town. A town said no, so they decided to go through a Native American Indian reservation.
The town said no because they worried about their water.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then they say, okay, we're going to put a Indian reservation, and now they're saying no, and then now they're, you know, it's like they don't have their own, they don't have the same rights as the people of the town. I disagree with you on that. You know, I think there could be an easier solution for them to go someplace where it's not affected. So, it's kind of just, you know, insane what's going on there. But with that being said, Leslie just continues to impress the hell out of me in terms of how great of a person she is. She always stands up for what's right. She's one of those people. I mean, she was there with the protesters a couple months ago, and she says after her fight with Irene, she's going to be back out there, helping the protesters out there. Props to Leslie for standing up, and this is a gal. If that's not impressive enough, here's Leslie Smith. She comes into Invicta, you know, stepping in for Laura Sanko, who was down in Brazil, you know, doing the post-fight interviews for the UFC. Steps in Laura's role and does the backstage interview, the in-cage interviews for Invicta, and then the next day flies out and corners Carry in her match the next day. So she had a really busy week, you know, in terms of that. And she's in the middle of fight camp to fight Irene. So, it's unbelievable to see, you know, and Leslie, I said, always have a special place in my heart for Leslie, because she's, first of all, she's very sweet. She's very, it's kind of weird. I think her and Joanna are pretty much in the same boat in terms that they're very sweet and they're very nice, but they're also very truthful.
But
you know, Joanna can be brash, but she's also very friendly, and she always kind of speaks the truth. With Leslie, I don't think we get that edge, but we still get the sweetness, and we still get the truthfulness and honesty from her. She's always honest with you. She'll always say exactly what she wants to say, and you know her exact opinion. But she does it in a way that you know you don't agree with it. So I mean, it's just unbelievable. So shout out to Leslie. And I'm interested to see how she does against Aldana. I think it's going to be a great match. It's going to be a toe-to-toe match, I think. It'll be interesting. I'm interested to see. I'm pretty sure Aldana's going to be I won't be surprised if Aldana's the current favorite, but I wouldn't count Leslie out of this fight. She's been in wars, and the only reason why she stopped was because of, I think a couple times, because of the doctor.
Anybody who fights with a half hanging exploding ear, you know that you can't really stop normally.
Yeah, exactly. So, but anyway, let's go ahead and wrap up. You can find me at WMMA News, and also at Wombat Sports, wombatsports.com. You'll be able to check out a bunch of stuff. The IMMAF, the International MMA Federation's European Open, is going on this week. I'll have updates for you this week. Plus, I got a lot of articles up there, and make sure you guys check that out, especially the Invicta FC 20 Aftermath article. You guys can check that out as well. You can check out Serena at Serena Southpaw on Twitter, and also Serena Southpaw on Instagram, right?
Yep, Serena Southpaw everywhere.
Everywhere. So you guys check that out as well. We'll see you guys coming up soon. I'm probably not going to do any more entertainment shows until the new year. Just way too busy. But if we get any more fighters on, we'll let you know. Please go to wombatsports.com. Thanks a lot, Serena, for coming on.
No problem. Thanks for having me on with you.
Okay, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Please go to wombatsports.com. We'll see you guys later.